Always. Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this, yes, this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. Our man Tim Hasselbeck is on the line with us. Tim, Broncos or Raiders, who do you believe in more moving forward and why?
Raiders, quarterback's more talented.
Don't believe in Chase's buddy, huh?
No, I mean, I think he's...
Haven't we been through this?
Yeah, we've been through this. We've been down this road. And look, they've got a really good supporting cast, and I'm a big fan of Pat Shurmur, and, you know, I think there's a lot that they... I think that's a good match. So he may play great, may have a career year, but, you know, if I was like, okay, like, which one of them's for real? Because... You know, with the way this has started for the Chiefs, like, maybe that division's open. And if that's the case, like, you know, who would you want to get behind? You know, I would go with the Raiders.
Do you think either one of them legitimately has a chance to make it into the playoffs, or they'll eventually come back to earth and just be on the outside looking in?
Yeah. I think the Raiders have a legitimate chance. I do think also, I think we maybe had this conversation last week, but, you know, so here we are. We're 3 weeks into the season, which with a 17-game season and bye weeks, it's an 18-week season, which means there's 15 more, which means it's almost 4 months left. Like, you know, when we look back at weeks 1, 2, and 3 at the end of the season, it's going to feel like it was years ago. And so there's just so much that can change. I mean, between injuries or, you know, guys that go on the IR and are able to come back. And I just think more than ever, it is, you know, it's kind of a war of attrition, you know, if you will. And I think the fact that they've gotten off to a good start certainly, you know, helps give you a little bit of a buffer for when things go bad. But man, we just have so much football left in front of us that you know, I think it's so early to tell. I mean, think about this. You know, last year the Steelers, what did they win, 11 games in a row?
11-0, yep.
And, like, and since that point, they just have not really been great. So, I just think we all have to be a little cautious of that because that can – it just – things can change quickly in the NFL, and all of a sudden the teams that were the hottest teams all of a sudden look terrible.
Did you know – I guess we all knew the Rams and the Bucs were going to be really good, but like you just said, with all that being said, long ways to go, but mm-hmm. Do you think after watching that on Sunday – now, granted, it was in – L.A., maybe it's a different story if it's in Tampa, but if you watch the game, the Rams were pretty much in control that entire game. I mean, Tampa countered after the first Rams touchdown, and after that, it was all L.A. Tampa was playing catch-up the rest of the day. Do you believe now, through 3 weeks, the Rams are clearly the best team in the NFC, or no?
I don't know that they're clearly the best, because I think Tampa is good enough to beat them. But I think that when you look at the top-tier teams and just say that those are two of the top-tier teams in the NFC, then I think that you, like, I think Tampa can beat them that way. I think the Rams, obviously they did it, you know, can beat Tampa that way. And it's why I feel like, you know, the addition of Matthew Stafford, I think there were some people who were like, I don't know. But, like, that's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. Because I think he's that good of a player, and I think you're seeing it.
What about Justin Tucker in Detroit? Like, one, it's the Lions, right? Is that the most Lions thing ever? And I know they got ripped. They got gypped on a missed call. Should have been a delay game to push them back. But isn't that so, Detroit Lions, to lose that way? I hate to even say
that. Very Detroit, yeah. It's very Detroit to lose that way, to be honest. I thought the Chargers... It was very, you know, L.A. Chargers, I think, to potentially lose the way it looked like they were going to lose to Kansas City this past weekend. And so Yeah, that was hard to that would be hard to swallow. I mean, just look at Dan Campbell's reaction afterwards. It was like, oh my gosh, like to think that. I mean, I've seen balls hit the crossbar, and I guess maybe I've seen them go in. Maybe if they kind of hit like the back side of the crossbar or something like that. But I don't know that I've ever seen one hit the crossbar that hard, bounce that high, and still go in. I mean, everything about that was so crazy. And then John Harbaugh is walking off the field. I was just reading his mouth. He's like, I think he set the record. He set the record with that. He was surprised by it.
And how about the finish Sunday night? You just know there's just certain quarterbacks. Mahomes, Rodgers certainly is in that category. If you just can't leave them, you know, too much time. In fact, Peyton and Eli were talking about it last night with Philadelphia. Like, okay, you got to march down at the end of this half, but don't leave too much time for Dak. Like, you're going to need to milk the clock, right? And San Francisco scored too early, and 37 seconds wasn't enough because Aaron Rodgers marched them right down. I mean, you know, how do you let Davante Adams, of all people, catch two balls like that on that drive?
Yeah. So here's what I would say. And I'm watching. I'm on with Scott Van Pelt, you know, after the Sunday night game. So we're watching the game together. He kind of jokes. He's like, they leave him too much time, and we kind of were laughing. It was like, but it's like, no. I mean, 37 seconds and no timeouts. Like, you did your job, perfect. And so, you know, if you were to write a book, 37 seconds and no timeouts, that should do it. Like that, there should be. But you did your job as an offense. And listen, I think you can still, to kind of the point I think you were alluding to there, Darren, like, I think you can kind of say that they did, because you do need to, at a minimum, like, listen, with 37 seconds left, rush two and double, you know, just have somebody trailing Davante Adams. Like, have a special, you know, a special defense for a special player. You know, so there. I do think there are elements of, you know, San Francisco defensively could have played it a lot better. But, yeah, that's just wild. And Aaron knew it, too. When he spiked the ball after the second completion to Adams, like the fist pump, like he knew. He's like, I just did my job. Mason Crosby's about to come out here and win this thing. And that was wild.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, talking NFL as we always do. Tim, what is your interpretation of the dynamic of the Julio Jones thing? And you try to put yourself in a coach's shoes, and I know we don't have all the information, but you knew based on the drama, the headlines of bringing in a big name like Julio Jones, that regardless of how you handled it after the game and the day after, you can't keep it from being a topic. So how do you evaluate what happened there?
What part are you referring to?
Him sitting out the fourth quarter, basically, not being reported on an injury. Like, the press box usually gets a report. If a player is hurt, he's got a questionable return. So he didn't have his helmet, then he had his helmet. But basically, in the fourth quarter with the score 14-13 and then 22-16, he sits out drives completely. And the Titans go on and score both times and put the game away without him being in there. And so, of course, questions are asked.
But you're talking about, like, how you manage it. Like, Vrabel's obviously made comments about, like, he's good with, you know, where Julio is.
Yeah, so use the word maintenance. So the key words to me, he used the words after the game, maintenance, right? He didn't say he was out with an injury. He didn't say, I kept him out. But he sort of hemmed and hawed. I'm thinking long term. We got to look at the guys in there were doing the job. And then yesterday, he heaped a lot of praise on Julio Jones, but also said there was some tightness in there. Guys get tight, is what he said. So he's really choosing his words very, very carefully to try to avoid getting more attention to this than what he needs. But the bottom line is everybody's wondering why didn't he go in there in such a big game? With in the situation they were in.
Yeah, I mean, I just, part of it for me is, and I think this is kind of the stuff I was talking to you guys about, honestly, before the trade ever happened. And it was like, oh, hey, you know, are the Titans a fit? And, you know, maintenance, tightness. Like, I think you're focusing on all the right stuff. And, you know, I think what I would say is, if we go back to prior to the trade ever happening, if you were to talk about these things, I would tell you it's kind of the cost of doing business. Like, that's what it is. Like this is the cost of doing business. And when you want to sign a number one wide receiver, got, you know, throughout his career, who you know, practices when he wants to practice, plays when he wants to play, produces when he wants to produce, like, that's just the cost of doing business. And you know, because Vrabel was a player and he saw guys get treated differently, and like, that's where you earn your money as a coach, because you've got to figure out the right way to do it, the right way to handle it publicly, the right way to handle it internally, the right way to make your team understand what's going on. Like, but that's, I think that's just, like, that's the animal that you're dealing with.
And at the same time, they've come up with a couple of really big wins after the nightmare in the first game, and they've done it by doing what's gotten them to this point, and that's leaning heavily on Derrick Henry. And the double-edged sword, of course, is it looks like he's still the same guy he's been the last couple of years, maybe even adding a dimension of him as a pass catcher. But at the same time, with this, you just talked about, you got that extra week now. It's a longer season, and you want to go deep into the playoffs. He theoretically could have about 500 touches at the pace he's going right now. And as great as physical specimen and special person he is, you still have to worry about that.
There's no question you have to worry about that. And I think that, you know, just like I was saying, I mean, we essentially have 4 months of football left. You want Derrick Henry, like, playing his best football after that, like, in 4 months and change. Like, that's when you want him playing his very best football. And, by the way, you know, everybody else, you know, every other team has just spent, you know, 17 games, you know, trying to tackle, and they're banged up, and this safety's nursing a shoulder, and this, you know, linebacker had an elbow injury, and that, you know, like, you want that. So, yeah, Willie, I think you're on the money with it. Like, there's this element of, look, obviously last week is a big game, and it certainly puts, you know, the Colts, you know, kind of behind schedule on what they're trying to do. But, you know, at the same, you know, in the same breath, you have to say, all right, well, like, we need Derrick Henry to be playing like this and feel this fresh and feel this healthy as much as possible at the end of the season, because that's really what makes the Titans unique right now.
What are you seeing with the Colts? Because here they are at 0-3. They don't have any gimmies the next couple weeks for sure, and it really looked like Carson Wentz was very, very limited in what he could do offensively. Can they dig out of this hole?
Yeah, again, there's a lot of time, but with that, you know, saying that, they've got, you know, their best offensive lineman's hurt. Their quarterback clearly isn't healthy, you're right. That was obvious this past weekend. And now you're 0-3. And, you know, you just lost, you know, a head-to-head with the team that you probably are going to have to, you know, be in front of to win the division. So, like, can they? Yes. It's so long. Like, I think that's the thing that, you know, I always try to, you know, even remind myself, like, when, you know, we're talking about teams and their seasons, and we joked, you know, hey, loser of that game, you know, this past weekend is out of the playoffs, right? Like, we're going to make that declaration, you know, at the end of September. Like, they're done. But it is just so long. The season's so long. Now, that, like, saying all of that, they're a quarterback that I don't see how he's getting more healthy. Their best offensive lineman is injured. You know, seeing the way the Titans ran the football on them, you know, was certainly a, you know, probably very discouraging to them. So, yeah, look, I think there's a really good, you know, scenario that things get ugly quickly for Indianapolis.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every week. So Sunday night football, the return, as they are billing it, as Brady returns to Foxborough to take on the Patriots for the first time since leaving for the Bucs. How I look at this, Tim, is I don't think Brady has one thing to prove, but I think he's going to try and prove something anyway, just because that's how he's wired. What are you expecting out of that one?
Yeah, I think Tampa beats them easily. I think Brady plays great. And, you know, when you look at the Patriots, like, they just don't have, I don't believe, you know, good perimeter players around Mac Jones. I think it's going to be tough sledding for him. And I would agree with you. Like, I don't think Brady has anything to prove. He proved it all last year, but I think he will. Coming off the loss that they just had and then the game that's going to get a lot of attention, I think he plays great in it.
Is Dallas better than you thought initially, or are they right where you think they should be?
No, they're better than I thought, because I didn't think their defense would play as well as they've played. Remember, they were epically bad on defense last year. And, you know, Mike McCarthy fires his defensive coordinator after one season. Like, they were horrible. Yeah. So, you know, their improvement has definitely grabbed my attention on that side of the ball. And they've done it with guys being hurt, which is another thing that's been impressive. So, I knew they'd be good on offense. They have good players. Mike McCarthy knows a lot of offense. And Dak, I thought that he would come back and play really well. The part that's been shocking to me is how much better their defense has been. A year ago, we were questioning, you know, players' effort. So, yeah, that's definitely not been the case.
Time to panic yet in Seattle, sitting at 1-2, or just the result of a tough schedule and they're going to get it turned around?
Yeah, I don't think it's time to panic yet. You know who should panic, Chase?
Who's that?
Darren.
I've been waiting for this.
Why
is that? Tell us.
Why would that be?
Because of the total beatdown he received from your fantasy team this weekend. That's who should panic.
I agree.
You know?
It was not a good week for him.
Darren all of a sudden got his peanut butter and jelly, you know, stuck in his mouth, I think, right now. He didn't have a response. But
muted. I just muted.
I mean, that's who should panic, you know, coming in thinking you got all the answers, right? And then all of a sudden, like, here come Willie and Chase and, like, I mean, just run through you. Like, I mean,
well,
that's who should be concerned.
I mean, I had the second high. I mean, the only team – I beat everybody in the league but them.
Yeah,
so,
it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt when you do that.
It stinks. It's not like I had 60 points and they had 160.
Wait, you had more points against teams you weren't playing? Oh, congrats. Yeah. That's awesome. Oh,
exactly.
That's really,
I know.
It's really
bad luck, isn't it? It's bad luck.
Willie and I have a good squad.
Listen, you just put you play like you play like in big games, like when it matters the most, you know, you've got to step up. Like
we circled the dates on our calendar.
Like would you have been able to like rearrange your roster a little bit to actually come up with the win, or no? Just was a total beatdown.
No, I mean they had the high for the year so far. So Willie and Chase had a monster week. So yeah.
I mean Herbert gave us 30.5.
Well, actually Stafford is my quarterback and he outdid Herbert.
You're right.
So
but we had Connor and Jefferson.
We just had answers.
Mike
everywhere.
Williams had a big day.
Mike freaking Williams.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, listen, everyone knew Mike Williams was going to go off. The fact that you didn't have some type of response to that, Darren, is irresponsible management.
Guess who? My response, Allen Robinson. Yeah, that seems like a good pick, right? 2 catches, 27 yards.
Yeah, see? I mean, listen, there are some people, like Brady this weekend, when it's a big game, you know, a big game like that. Like, he's going to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit like Aaron going back to the Bay Area Sunday night, you know, like that. And, like, clearly Willie and Chase, like, they know how to rise to the occasion. I mean, you went Allen Robinson. I mean, there you go. Yeah.
You know, if the Bears could just get over 100 yards in offense, Tim, I feel better about Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. But they got a ways to go.
I mean, hey, and you chose him.
By the way, okay. I did. By the way, real quick, I know you got to go, but it's just come out that Marlon Mack wants a trade out of Indy. Is he worth a look, or what is Marlon Mack today?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player. You know, he's just in a bad spot because Nyheim Hines is a really good back who is different, change of pace, and then they drafted Jonathan Taylor, and they're going to go that direction. Marlon Mack's big issue has been injured some, but when he's been healthy, I think he's a really, really good runner. And I know that, like, take the Rams as the example. They added Sony Michel after the Cam Akers injury, but Marlon Mack would be a player like in a system like that that I think could end up having a great year. Now, I don't think he ends up there because of Sony Michel, but I think that, just to use an example, he's a good runner.
Maybe the Ravens, with all their injuries, maybe they go after him.
Yeah,
who knows?
Potentially.
Mm-hmm. Hey, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck next week to your fantasy
thanks,
team, okay? Good luck.
I know you mean that.
In your league.
Thank you. It means a lot, Tim. Thank you.
Bye, Tim.
See you, Mel.
He is something, isn't he?
He's the best.
That's what I love about
him. I'm just really glad he's taking an interest in our fantasy league.
Yeah, well, you guys probably sent him a heads
no,
text.
No, come on.
We would never do that.
I know.
Why would you think we would ever do anything like that? That we would ever reach out to Tim Hasselbeck, who's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, and say, hey, ask Darren about his fantasy weekend. I would never do a thing like that.
I so wanted just to keep my mic off.
Yeah, we had our hand up to our ear.
He got you on the peanut butter, though. That was funny.
All right, we got a lot more to get to on the other side. Good stuff from him, as always. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years, and they've really been helping me for years, which is why this is easy to talk about them. They've helped me be healthier and happier. They've helped improve my quality of life, and as we all age, sometimes that's tough. But they do so many things under one roof, and they've got a very experienced staff over there that can help you in a variety of things. And, of course, their leader is Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse. But it's a great facility over there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. And I would say, as we've all been adults for more than 5 minutes, you've probably tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would like to shed. Well, weight loss management is important to them, and they've got programs and products and people that can get you back in the right direction ASAP and get rid of those unwanted pounds. Rejuvenation. Your appearance should be important, and it's tougher as we age. Things start happening that maybe we didn't have happen before, and they can discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit off lately, haven't felt yourself, you haven't had that same drive, that same energy, or maybe you're experiencing some mood swings. Well, they'll be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all. If you would like to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.